Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is not safe for work. We use pseudonyms to remain anonymous because we love our jobs. I'd give a special thank you to our patron donors. If you're interested in joining us on Patreon, you can hear some extra unlocked secret episodes, bonus content, as well as get some cool Teacher Needs a Drink swag. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is also sponsored by Lud Lamb Dramatics Educational Theater Post. If you need some educational theater posters and classwork stuff for your classroom or for the back of your Zoom screen, go to ludlamdramatics.com. That's ludlamdramatics.com. Lud Lamb Dramatics has posters covering a wide range of topics like Elizabethan theater, things we do, how theater relates to the real world, as well as many biographical posters of theater notables. That's Lud Lamb Dramatics. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook or go to our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. Please follow, subscribe, leave a review if you can, and also the best way you can help us is find one person and tell them about our podcast. Tell them one thing you heard about it. Spreading it one-to-one-to-one is the best way to get the word. This is episode 29. I think we've got a lot of our sound and audio bugs worked out, and we're able to do this remotely and, you know, keep doing the social distancing thing. I'm really proud of our teachers. This is our kind of fun episode. So enjoy episode 29.
Person, not the baby, so fuck you.
Yeah, I guess. Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and today I am joined by the lovely Miss Sparkles.
Hey, y'all.
And also across from me, not really, is Miss Rosie Rose.
Hello, it is me.
It is you. And then below her in my list of people I'm connecting with online, it is Bunny O'Hare.
Hey, y'all.
Yep, the teacher is so nice, they named it airport after her. So,
no.
Today we're going to take it a little bit differently. We're going to talk about some just silly, crazy stuff, just to have a light, more distractional. That's a word, right? Distractional?
No. It is now.
Escapist?
Escapist, yes.
Where we just discuss silly little things. But before we do that, I just want to read one quick message that was off the Reddits. And it was referring to about how we have to communicate a lot during this online teaching thing we're doing during our coronacation. This one says, my district is doing ridiculous communications. Last week, each teacher was supposed to call parents twice. I called one mom who has 5 kids at home due to school closures. She said, you are the 5th teacher to call me today. I realized there was no way I was going to bug this poor woman a second time this week. Imagine having 5 kids at home and teachers are calling you left and right all day long with the exact same questions. What a way to make a stressful, bad situation worse.
So we had to call just our homeroom student, and they wanted us to call them 3 times over the course of like a week or something like that to try and get a hold of them. So once we got a hold of them, we could stop. So if you got them on the first try, you did not need to call back. Now they've got us set up with our like online system. So all further communications are online, which I am a huge fan of because your girl has really bad phone anxiety and hates talking on the phone. Aww.
Yeah, our school, we had one particular class period that we were supposed to check in with back in the first or the second week. And then by the end of the week, if we hadn't heard from those kids on email, phone, remind, any, like if we had zero contact with them, then we gave those names to the front office and they started trying to contact them, like comparing lists from other teachers to see if any of those teachers had heard and blah, blah. But we have gotten to where we now just do like one email a week. And if the kids need to contact us, they can, but we are leaving the parents the heck alone.
So today on Just the Tip.
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip. And today to share Just the Tip, we have Miss Zola Zanzibar. We love you.
Okay, well, the tip for today is just remind your parents or at least let them know where all of the requirements are coming from as far as like curriculum or even how you're reaching out and communicating. My son's teacher kind of slipped it into a couple of conversations we had where she said the district is, or our principal said, and it's kind of nice to hear that it's coming from somewhere higher up and it's not her. So anything that has been a little irritating or things that aren't working out so well for us, it's been nice to know not her, and just to know that it's coming from higher up and she can't do anything about it. I feel a little more sympathy in all the madness of trying to teach a 7-year-old.
I think it's important. The admin's job is to be kind of a wall between us and the outside world. So throw your admin under the bus for anything that's annoying, because it probably is coming from them anyway.
Yes, it's tough because we're all in an unprecedented situation and none of us have ever experienced something like this. And so even admins who are making really poor, obnoxious decisions are kind of just doing the best they can. Some admins just really believe more communication is better, but I bet if you polled the parents, like, that once a week email is all they really want, and they'd probably be okay with every other week.
I want to know if my kids aren't doing the work, or if there's something like they aren't hitting submit, so everything that they think they're doing isn't going through. Other than that, contact me if there's a fire. Other than that, no news is good news.
Yeah. Well, and especially because some of our parents are essential workers, so mm-hmm. they're still having to go to work. They're not at home. They're at their job, so they don't really have time to sit next to little Johnny and make sure he does his math homework when things are easy. And now, you know, everything is exponentially harder. I think we all need to give each other some grace during this crazy time.
And now it's time to have our questions episode. Yay! Yeah. And so, my friends, I have questions for you. Whoever wants to answer can just raise your little yellow hand and we'll get on with it. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. At long last, somebody invents the Dream VCR. This machine allows you to tape an entire evening's worth of your own dreams, which you can then watch at your own leisure. However, the inventor of the Dream VCR will only allow you to use this device if you agree to a strange caveat. When you watch your dreams, you must do so with your family and your closest friends in the same room. They get to watch your dreams along with you, and if you don't agree to this, you can't use the Dream VCR. Would you still do this, Ms. Bunny O'Hare?
Hell no.
No? Are your dreams that wild? Are they that embarrassing and shameful?
Not usually, but there have been just a couple over the years that I woke up thinking, what on God's green earth was that? And I don't need my mama seeing that.
Ms. Sparkles?
Definitely not right now, because I can tell you the coronatine has been causing some really weird shit to pop up in my brain, and I would just like it to stay in my subconscious. I don't need anybody knowing about this weirdness, so I'm cool. I'm straight. I'm great.
And now the one I'm really curious about, Miss Rosie Rosé.
The fuck does that mean?
It means you're kind of freaky. So I'm wondering, are you like, hey, everybody, see me? Or are you going to be like, nope, this
First
is where
all,
I'm humble.
Why is it a VCR? It's not 1994. Why don't we have, like, dream streaming? Or even a dream DVD would be fine. Or a Blu-ray.
These questions were made in 2001. So,
well,
hey,
that's why.
I had a DVD player in 2001. Who sold a VCR in 2001?
Thank you.
College kids. I had the TV VCR combo in 2001.
Wow, that's sad.
Infants, both of you.
Yeah, you guys are babies.
I was in high school and I had a DVD player in my room. So suck it, college kid.
You were allowed to have a TV in your room growing up?
Yep.
I was in high school, yeah.
I was not at any point. I still don't.
I mean, I don't have one now as an adult because we didn't have TV in my dorms in college because they didn't have cable, but I had one. I only had it in high school. My mom took it out when I was in middle school, mostly because my TV exploded.
College dorms were the first time I ever had TV in my bedroom.
Wow.
And I've had it there ever since.
So to answer your question.
You freak.
You freak.
Your girl has some crazy graphic dreams. I'm just going to say graphic. So
erotic graphic?
Fuck no. Fuck yes. And I'm not sharing that with my grandma or my mama.
Your Nana doesn't get to see that?
Absolutely not. She might take me to a fucking priest and be like, God save her soul. And she's not even Catholic.
I've got to say, my family and my friends know me pretty well. Where if I'm like, hey, you guys want to watch my dreams? And they're like, okay. I'm like, well, fuck, buckle up. You're in. I mean, they probably know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
See? I mean, they're not all the time inappropriate. I mean, they're most of the time.
I've had dreams about every single one of you, so I'm not sharing those with you. No.
I have so many questions.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah. Next question.
You meet the perfect person. Romantically, this person is ideal. You find them physically attractive, intellectually stimulating, consistently funny, and deeply compassionate. However, there is only one quirk. This individual is obsessed with Jim Henson's gothic puppet fantasy, The Dark Crystal. Beyond watching it on DVD at least once a month, he or she peppers casual conversation with Dark Crystal references, uses Dark Crystal analogies to explain everyday events, and occasionally likes to talk intensely about the film's deeper philosophy. Would this be enough to stop you from marrying this individual? Does Mr. Sparkles have an obsession with The Dark Crystal? Can you tolerate it?
He has an obsession with accounting and math, which is hard for me because I hate math. So I'm tolerating that. So I think I could tolerate the Dark Crystal nonsense because at least I can understand it.
It is not nonsense. Oh, sorry. Continue.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen The Dark Crystal. So then it would at least be exciting to be like, oh, teach me about The Dark Crystal because I don't know anything about it. I think I could make it work.
Miss Bunny O'Hare.
I don't know because maybe I need to give it another try. But I tried to watch it once and I got really just creeped out, that just uncanny valley kind of weird, unsettling. And I couldn't do it. So I don't know. It would have to depend. We would have to negotiate some kind of a like, I don't have to watch it situation, but you can watch it as much as you want. It would depend on some other things.
Miss Rosie Rose, are you willing to tolerate The Dark Crystal?
You know what? With all of the wonderful, wonderful trash I have dated, if I find the perfect man who I'm attracted to and we get along well and he just has this one weird quirk, I'll wear a damn Dark Crystal costume in the bedroom if that's what he wants. Like, I'm in. Let's do it.
Every person you have ever slept with is invited to a banquet where you are the guest of honor. No one will be in attendance except for you, the collection of former lovers, and the catering service. After the meal, you are asked to give a 15-minute speech to the assembly.
Nope.
What do you talk about?
Nothing. I'm not there. I have left the building.
I'm curious how many of mine would be able to figure it out. That, like, that's the one thing they all have in common with me. I mean, I could probably go up there and maybe start talking, and only a few, like, hey, I know her. I don't know how much overlap there'd be there.
But how many of your exes or people that you hooked up with would show up?
Well, according to this, they're there. I mean, this isn't reality. Oh, like, all of them are in this Coliseum. And then
Coliseum? Elvis?
It'd be more like a small movie theater, like a dollar theater. It wouldn't be like a Coliseum, but...
Mine would be like
it'd be a dollar theater worth of people.
Right. Yours would be what?
Like a church parlor? Like
a church parlor?
I'm not... I didn't show up to the banquet. I stayed home. So
really, there's nothing you would say?
No.
You should just come up there and say you're welcome.
Yeah, I could say you're welcome to some of them, but like there are some who I just don't want to see again. So I'm cool never seeing them again.
Well, I choose not to be there, so fuck you.
I skipped this banquet. I got sick. I got real sick. I couldn't go. Oh, no.
I'd get up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I caught the Ronas.
I know. It'd be like, hey, guys, would you like to be your own boss and take care of your own monetary individual? You should sell Amway and become a partner with me. And then they'd clear out and I'd be able to go home. It'd be great.
There you go. Throw some MLM at them.
Yeah.
Some timeshare.
Oh, I was going to say some fucking essential oils. You want to join my essential oil team? My fat wraps? My fucking, what's the other one with the pink drink?
They're all crap.
I don't know what it's called, but it does not sound good.
When I was driving Uber, a woman gave me like the starter pack as a tip. I was so pissed. She's like, hey, here's this. You can go ahead and have this. And I was like, I don't need chocolate shake. I'm trying to lose weight. I don't want to take your muscle gain cover.
I don't need.
Yeah, I'm not here because I want supplements.
Here's the anyway. Tip. MLM sucks.
Miss Sparkles, this one's for you.
Oh, good.
Your best friend is taking a nap on the floor of your living room. Uh-oh. Suddenly, you are faced with a bizarre existential problem. This friend is going to die unless you kick them as hard as you can in the rib cage. If you don't kick them while they are sleeping, they will never wake up. However, you can never explain this to your friend. If you later inform them that you did this to save their life, they will also die from that. So you have to kick a sleeping friend in the ribs, and you can't tell them why. Since you cannot tell your friend the truth, what excuse will you fabricate to explain this seemingly inexplicable attack?
I had a, I saw a spider, and I tried to kill it, so I kicked it. or that I had a leg spasm because I've been doing a lot of yoga, and so my legs, you know, they're real sore, and so I spasmed, and it was an accident. Yeah, I got the restless legs.
I would do it, yes, and save my friend's life. I would probably end up saying something, I tripped, oh God, I'm so sorry. Like, I tripped on them or something.
Miss Rosie Rose, what's your excuse?
You were snoring and it was fucking annoying, so I woke you up.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Elvis, what's your excuse?
Oh, I'd just look at him and say, you know what you did. And then most of my friends would be like, yeah, sorry. Yeah,
so now
you.
We know if Elvis kicks us in the ribs that he's really trying to save our life. This was his signal for us.
Shh, don't say anything.
But then we'll die. Yeah, way to go, Sparkles.
Oh, sorry, everyone.
You're going to die, bitches.
Does it undo the healing or the saving if you say it beforehand?
I'm assuming this comes on suddenly. You might be overthinking it. For reasons that cannot be explained, cats can suddenly read at a 12th grade level. They can't talk and they can't write, but they can read silently and comprehend the text. Many cats love this new skill because they now have something to do all day while they lay around the house. However, a few cats become depressed because reading forces them to realize the limitations of their existence, not to mention the utter frustration of being unable to express themselves. This being the case, do you think the average cat would enjoy Garfield or would find the cartoon to be an insulting caricature?
I think they would enjoy it because isn't Garfield always like getting the upper hand on his owner?
But he's lazy and fat. He only thinks about lasagna. He hates Mondays. I mean,
who doesn't? So he's all of us.
You're right. Lazy, fat, loves lasagna. Like lasagna. Sounds like me.
Yeah.
I do like lasagna.
And hates Mondays.
Yeah, hates Mondays. Smarter than everybody else in the comic. Right. Yeah. I think the cats would appreciate the smarter than everybody else in the comic part. And plus, there are some cats out there who are lazy and fat and love lasagna. So.
Well, not lasagna, because that's so not good for your cat.
True. But some stereotypes are based in truth. Field perhaps is based in a little bit of truth.
I think, like humans, some of them would enjoy it and some of them would not.
And so if you don't like this question, you can thank Miss Priscilla, but you guys know her pretty well at this point.
I'm excited.
So this one will be directed towards Miss Rosie Rose.
Yes.
Let us assume a fully grown, completely healthy Clydesdale horse has his hooves shackled to the ground while his head is held in place with a thick rope. Conscious and standing upright, but he is completely immobile. And let us assume that for some reason, every political prisoner on Earth, as cited by Amnesty International, will be released from captivity if you can kick this horse to death in less than 20 minutes. You are allowed to wear steel-toed boots. Would you do this?
Okay, first of all, when you said brutal, I was thinking, like, murdering lots of people, which technically this is, not animals. So, no, I would not. Fuck the political prisoners. I'm not kicking a horse. Sorry. Nope.
I mean, I already know Bunny's answer, so I'm not even going to ask her. But, Miss Sparkles?
Definitely not. This is a hard no.
Thank you.
First of all, how do I know that some of those political prisoners are not guilty of what they've been accused of?
As cited by Amnesty International.
I don't care. If they're wrong? Amnesty International is not 100% correct in everything, I'm sure. So what if they're wrong? And so I'm not going to kick this innocent, sweet, innocent, a beautiful creature to death for people who may be criminals.
Okay. Let us assume... I'm running out of steam. We'll do this one, and then we'll
You would kill the horse, wouldn't you?
I'd kick that fucking horse so hard. I'd free. And then, like, Morgan Freeman would, like, as I took my last sweaty kick, he'd be like, and then Mr. Elvis freed all the prisoners, and the world was good. Titty sprinkles. It would be amazing. Well, let us assume you met a rudimentary magician. Let us assume he can do 5 simple magic tricks. He can pull a rabbit out of his hat. He can make a coin disappear. He can turn the Ace of Spades into the Joker card and 2 other, you know, similar tricks. These are his only tricks, and he can't learn any more. He can only do these 5 tricks. However, it turns out he's doing these 5 tricks with real magic. It's not an illusion. He can actually conjure the bunny out of space, and he can move the coin through things. He's legitimately magical, but extremely limited in scope and influence. Would this person be more impressive than Albert Einstein?
Fuck no.
But it's real magic.
It's a Hufflepuff real magic.
Hey now. Hufflepuff is not a synonym for lame, okay?
Oh. I mean, I think he'd be more impressive than Albert Einstein. I like my magical new friend. Screw y'all. I do like my magical new friend. He's cool.
Than Albert Einstein because he can pick a fucking coin out of your ear.
But he can actually do it. It's not like he has the coin hidden in his sleeve and he's faking it. He's literally doing it from magic.
You should be more worried about how many coins you have in your ear.
But it's magic. What? He's making them. It's not like the coins are stuck in my ear.
Plus, shit, if he can make coins out of thin air, he can make you coins worth a lot of fucking money. And next thing you know, you're loaded. All because of your magic friend.
It's just so out of your damn ear.
Suck it, Albert Einstein. Suck it. My new magic friend is going to make me rich, okay?
You would never have to fish for Aldi quarters ever again.
Not quarters. I'd be like, hey, can you conjure up like an ancient coin that's worth like $3 million? And he'd be like, ba-da-dow! And it would be there and it would be real. And then I would sell it on Pawn Stars or whatever. I'd sell it at an auction. Who fucking cares? He would conjure it for me whenever I needed him to.
I'm kind of down with him because if he's like, ba-da-dow! Or however she did it, I want to hear that more. That's awesome. You meet a wizard in downtown Chicago. The wizard tells you he can make you more attractive if you pay him money. When you ask how this process works, the wizard points to a random person on the street. You look at this random person, and the wizard says, I will now make them $1 more attractive. He waves his magic wand. Ostensibly, this person does not change at all, as far as you can tell. Nothing is different. But somehow, this person is suddenly a little more appealing. The tangible difference is invisible to the naked eye, but you can't deny that this person is vaguely sexier. This wizard has a weird rule, though. You can only pay him once. You can't keep paying and giving him money until you're satisfied. You can only pay him in one lump sum up front. How much cash do you give the wizard?
I need about 350.
I've got like $1,500 in my savings account right now. So I think I bust out the $1,500, and I'm like, here you go, and I'm 1,500 times more attractive.
I don't know if I'd be willing to throw that much. I'd be like, you know what? Here's $50. Take it what you will. I'm curious what $50 would do. Is that like losing 10 pounds, or is that like a good suit? I mean, what's... Ms. Bunny?
Yeah, I think I would want to see a couple more demonstrations before I... coughed up the change for that.
Oh, scaredy cats. Miss Rosie Rose.
I'm sorry, have you seen me? I'm not throwing him any money.
Yeah,
that's
girl.
Not too hot. Hey, yeah. Like, here's a motherfucking dollar. Let's see what you can do with that. You're welcome, world.
All of a sudden, your toenails have a new shine on them.
Exactly. Everyone's like, damn, look at that girl's feet. Nah, I'm a foot model.
You're welcome. Border chow!
My fellow Americans. So I'm a big believer that leggings are not pants, right? I do not wear leggings or pajamas outside of my house because they're not pants. I would wear them like under a dress, like as long as my butt is covered, you know, but not like with just like...
Is a tunic top okay?
Yeah, totally. If your butt is covered, you're good. But if like I can see your butt, not good, right? Nobody wants to see a camel toe, none of that. So that needs to be covered. But it's totally cool if you have lowered those standards in this time and have decided wearing only things with elastic waistbands is how you're going to live your life. So be proud of it, man. Live your life, wear your elastic waistbands.
I was just going to say, because a friend of mine posted this today and I thought it was really insightful. She's got an elementary school age kiddo, and he had a complete meltdown about something really inconsequential. And her whole point was, it wasn't about that. Like, anger is a secondary emotion, and we feel anger because we are feeling something else so strongly. And right now, these children's and most of the adults I know have a lot of weird thoughts and feelings going on in our brains. And so if you find yourself getting angry about something, try not to be too hard on yourself. Like, try and examine that and understand that that's a real thing right now.
I find myself getting frustrated out of nowhere, and I realize it's not the one little thing. It's all the things. My body and mind just chose that one moment to let the crack open. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. I'd like to thank the wonderful ladies for joining me. Miss Sparkles, you are a delight.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. And then Ms. Rosie Rose, it was wonderful having you back.
Always wonderful to be here.
And Ms. Bunny O'Hare, it was great to hear you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Excellent. Cheers, my friends. Woo! Thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Lud Lamb Dramatics. If you need educational theater posters, go to Lud Lamb Dramatics. If you use the code TNAD15 at checkout, you can get 15% off your order. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or leave us a message at our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. Please follow, subscribe, leave a review, and tell one person. I'd like to thank all of our Patreon people who are helping keep the podcast going. If you're interested, go to Patreon and look up Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. You get a line to secret unheard episodes, as well as lots of bonus content and the opportunity to get Teacher Needs a Drink swag. I'd also like to thank our guests, Miss Rosie Rose, Bunny O'Hare, and Miss Sparkles, and of course the lovely Priscilla by my side. I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
I'm pretty straight as they come, but if Daniel Craig was like, Elvis, will you hold my hand? I'd be like, yes. Can we go walk in the fields? And I'm like, yes, Daniel Craig. That's as far as I'm going to... Yeah.
I thought you were going with that.
He's like, Elvis, will you pick up that soap? I'd be like, oh, no. I mean, I don't know. Anyway.